Betfair are on your side this autumn racing. Imagine what you could be buying instead. From the sporting capital of Australia. It's the biggest sports show for your Saturday morning. Sarah Ollie, Will Rawson, and Ryan Warren. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
The eyes of the world are on Melbourne this weekend with the Rolex Formula One Australian Grand Prix. And for the next 2 hours, stick with us trackside and have a bit of fun with Triple M's Dead Set Legends. I am Rabs, otherwise known as Ryan Warren. I'm here with, the taste of the Melbourne Grand Prix over the last few days, Will Ralston.
Good morning, Rabbit Sarah.
Good morning.
How exciting. We are here. We are so close to the track. We're next to the pits.
Yes.
So if you hear cars going past, that is real noise. That is a car that is flying past at 200
k's. It's not Billy Brown that's doing that.
It's not an impression.
No.
And Sarah, it's your first time at the Grand Prix.
Well, I'm an Albert Park girl, born and bred. And weirdly, this is the first time I've ever been trackside. It is so exciting. And I've been wondering, what have I been doing my whole life? This is incredible. We are so close to the track. There is so much noise and excitement and buzz in the air.
Buzz.
And so many people actually wearing the colours of their teams, which is, it's unusual to see so much merch everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I drive past Albert Park most days to go to work and, you know, it's greenery, it's the lake.
Yeah.
It's completely unrecognisable.
Isn't it?
For these few days.
It's unrecognisable.
The ESPY's in the middle here. I go to the ESPY all the time St Kilda, yeah. And there's got a little pop-up one here. It's amazing.
It's so cool. And I think fans of Formula One and V8s as well, but they are some of the most rabid, fanatical fans of anything I've ever seen. You should see when the gates open, the running of the bulls style efforts trying to get to the front to see if they can see their heroes and get something signed. It's really cool. It's such a great buzz. There's a car.
Did you hear that?
We are seriously that close. You might hear like the little ring, 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 you know, when they're changing the tyres on pit lane.
Yeah.
It's incredible. We've got a massive show today. Dr. Kate Reed, owner of Loon, I'm going to say Croissanterie?
Croissanterie?
Croissanterie.
Well, she used to be a Formula One aerodynamicist, and now she owns Loon and created Loon. She's going to join us very soon. Jamie Wincup, arguably.
Wow.
I know there's Brocky. I know there's Lounsey.
He's the goat.
I know there's Scafey.
He's an icon.
But Winnie, Jamie Wincup, or J-Dub, as apparently we're calling him,
J-Dub.
He's going to join us very, very soon as
How
well.
Good.
And, of course, we're going to chat a lot of footy.
Will and Rabs, we're at the pit exit. It is all happening. It's all getting laid on. We don't just have water here. We've got fizzy water. Will, you accidentally got a lemonade
Grabbed
before,
a lemonade.
But that's all right.
That's
we're having
fine.
A good time.
Just embrace the day, I
you
think.
Need to calm down.
I'm now buzzing, if I wasn't before.
Well, speaking of good times, Geelong is certainly having that. They are 2-0 over. They travelled to the Adelaide Oval, where last night they beat the Crows by 19 points. And this is how it went down.
It's a big Friday night clash. It's Adelaide. It's Geelong. Ball spills to the front. Working hard, Henry. Got it out to Myers. Snap around the body. Goal. Delivers up to Hawkins. Too strong. Turns and goes. Long ball in. Feeding back. Here's Matter. Snap around the body. He's got a goal. It's his first. A little handball from Clark. Ends up with Matter. Now to Myers. Looking for another. Yes.
Dempsey runs to 40. Handball to the Hawk. Tomahawk on his left from a standing start. They've got 5 in a row. And that is it at the Adelaide Oval. The Cats home by 19 points on the road. That's a big win.
We are Geelong, the greatest team of all.
So in the end, it was the Cats, 14-12, 96, defeating the Crows, 11-11, 77. And it was all about the Toms, either end of the ground. And it was Tom Stewart's 150th match.
Yep.
And didn't he control it for Geelong in the back line? 28 touches, 11 marks. He was just intercepting at will. And after the game, Chris Scott and Matthew Nix both weighed into his game. And they said, well, when a player is in that kind of aura, there's not much you can do tactically. Yeah. And the Crows had plan A, B and C. They kind of all got thrown out the window because he was just so dominant in defence.
Equal record, 10 intercept marks last night. So he's just a freak. And we had rumours in the off-season that maybe they're going to experiment with Tom Stewart in the middle. Why would you take the best defender in the game? I mean, Sam Taylor could probably put his hand
he's
up. But
good.
Tom Stewart is freakish. 5-time All-Australian. For a guy that hadn't played footy until he was 23, 24.
Yeah.
It's an unbelievable story. And yeah, I think he was the hero last night. But they had some stars, the Cats, that are stepping up. They're looking ominous. Grian Meyers, Lionel Messi.
Yeah, 26 touches and then 3 goals. He's just in incredible form, continuing on from last year, Sarah.
And Tom Hawkins as well. So evergreen. You talk about the Cats and Father Time catching up. I don't feel like it's catching up on Tom Hawkins. In that third term in particular, he was pivotal in getting the momentum back, because you thought, here come the Crows. But he just had a few moments. And I feel like that was a difference last night. The Cats, when they had their momentum and had their moments, they really seized it and rose to the occasion. Yeah. And the Crows looked a little bit fumbly at times. And I'm thinking about that Darcy Fogarty poster from point blank range.
To keep them in it.
They're the chances where if you don't take Will, they come back to bite you.
A touch of class when it mattered, I think you're right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a classic Cats win and Chris Scott win, because they were on the back foot early with a couple of late outs. Sarah, Mitch Duncan was one of those. But they just continue to get the job done. And I think Joey Montagna forecast them to be the team that comes in from the bottom eight into the top four this year. And their first two games, they beat the Saints at home, but then going to Adelaide at Adelaide Oval, which is no easy task this year. They looked incredible.
It is amazing. This team just never let you down. Next week, they've got Hawthorn, so they're every likelihood to be 3-0. And I just think that advantage of playing at GMHBA Stadium, where they just know the dimensions of that ground so intimately, it is still a massive leg up for this side, isn't it? And if they bank enough wins there, they are going to be playing finals again, aren't they?
Yeah, such a strange drop last year, following on from the premiership. But Patrick Dangerfield, another one of their ageing stars who was dominant last night. But dying moments. So Chris Scott has described it as hamstring cramp, I believe, post-match. Hopefully it's nothing too serious.
Yeah, he was a bit unsure about it post-match last night, because he said if it was in his calves, even both calves, he wouldn't be worried. But the hamstring cramp is different. And actually, we saw it on Thursday night. Liam Henry, who was one of the stars for Kilda. Yeah. He came off with that hamstring cramp. Well, he's now out for six weeks. So that's how serious it can be.
I think Danger's having scans this morning as well. Just quickly before we go, I want to touch on Matt Crouch.
Yes.
He was nowhere for essentially the best part of 2 years. Found his way back into the team late last year. 37 touches last night, and he was arguably Adelaide's best player. I know Rory Laird and Jordan Dawson late were good, but I love to see Matt Crouch back out there, because he was on the trade table for 2 years and no club wanted him. And he's found his way back into the Crows lineup.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, very cool. 37 touches last night. And the big hard yakker on the pitch invader when he came on. He had him collared for a good 10 seconds, Rabs.
He did.
What a bizarre moment that was.
We'll touch on that later on. But what a treat this is. Dr. Kate Reid, the owner of Loon Croissanterie.
Croissanterie. We're going to have to ask Kate how we say it.
Joining us next live from the Formula One Rolex Australian Grand Prix.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
We have the honour of having a very special guest with us here at the Grand Prix. It is Dr. Kate Reid, the owner of, am I saying this right, Loon Croissanterie?
That is so perfect.
Oh, great. My French is good. And former Formula One aerodynamicist, if you don't mind.
You got that one right too.
An expert in all things Formula One and croissants, which is two passions of ours here as we're next to the track today. Dr. Kate Reid, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. As you can see, I just like to pick job titles with very difficult to pronounce names.
Absolutely. So your story, we've been talking about it before you arrived here today, is so fascinating. So you were an aerodynamicist that was working over in the UK, and you were working with the Williams Formula One racing team. So how did that come to be, from just a girl from Melbourne?
Well, I'm going to share a brief moment that I had just before I started talking to you guys. Jack and Mick Doohan, son and father, are doing a speed comparison on the circuit with a 2000 F1 Benetton car and a production MotoGP bike. And I was just out there waiting to talk to you, and the F1 car flew past me, and I was transported back to the very first moment that I ever experienced an F1 car in 1996. Like the V10 engine, it just squeals, and it's so loud that the whole sound reverberates through you, and I nearly cried.
That's so cool.
But I'd loved F1 since the beginning of my memories. It was always a thing that my dad and I did together. We'd watch the races on a Sunday night as they were televised in Australia through the winter, and always dreamt of coming to a Grand Prix. I was so thrilled when it moved from Adelaide to Melbourne in 1996, and Dad said to me for the first time, "Hey, let's go." and I witnessed it in person. And from that first moment of seeing an F1 car go past me, I knew that it had to be my whole life.
That's so cool. And then you went to RMIT. That was part of your training education to try and get into the Formula One world. What was the path like? Was it difficult when you moved overseas? Or
it was, I guess I'd been prepping myself for it for over a decade. Like from the moment I decided I wanted to work in Formula One, every decision I made, every thought that I had in my head had to be F1 focused. So all the maths and science subjects at school led to aerospace engineering at RMIT. And I'd always imagined that like I would die in England, you know, I'd retire there, my whole life would be there. So I'd been prepping for it. But I think also you can't get work experience in Formula One. You know, in year 10, you can't call up your uncle's accounting firm. Yeah. Can I come and work in the office? Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't get the opportunity to know what the office environment would be like. So it was a bit of a shock to the system when I finally arrived.
And what about the shock of, I guess, being in a really male-dominated area as well? I mean, it still is, but there's certainly more diversity now in the F1 space. But was that also a bit of a confronting issue for you?
It wasn't confronting for me. I'd gone, like, throughout aerospace engineering, I was maybe one of five or six girls out of a cohort of 120. Yep. So I already knew what that felt like. And I like working with men. I like the way their minds think, and I like how I think differently to them. I always felt like it was an advantage to be a female, and I wish more women would think like that. Yeah. Like, you know, we've got such an amazing way of problem solving and thinking that complements the different genders. So if we all just work together. But by the time I got to Formula One, I was the only female in the entire aerodynamic capacity, a building of 120, didn't have a female toilet, but I wasn't made to
feel... No female toilet?
No, there was only the male and a disabled toilet, so Sir Frank Williams and I shared the disabled.
Wow.
I actually had this amazing moment. The first week that I was working, Frank sleeps at the factory. So he converted the top floor of the main design office into an apartment. I'm sure his wife loved that. And he would patrol the corridors late at night to see who was, you know, burning the midnight oil for the team. So one night it was maybe 9 or 10 o'clock on my first week, and I saw him come into the office and roll his wheelchair down the middle of the office. But as he passed my desk, he stopped and came back and looked over and he went, "Oh, my God, it's a girl."
It's a girl.
Actually, I've never thought about that.
Dr. Kate Reid, we'll touch on Loon soon, but as a Formula One fan and a Melbourne girl, you first came here when you were 13 years old. How proud are you today, seeing how big of an event it is for our city, our country, and the local area?
It is nearly unrecognisable. Mm. I mean, I was telling somebody, I think it might have been Minister Demopoulos the other day, Dad and I used to drive to the track via Baker's Delight and pick up our custard scrolls and bring in a thermos of tea, and we would treat ourselves to like a Peter's Magnum in the afternoon. And like now, I mean, we are surely like the best culinary city in the world. Melbourne's food and wine scene is absolutely amazing. And to see it reflected all over the circuit at these pop-ups that really do deliver what the experience is like in the real venues, including Loon, obviously. Yep. But then even to see, you know, amazing Melbourne brands like Mecca at the circuit, there's really things happening here that you could not enjoy motorsport and come here for the entire day and be totally entertained.
Yeah. And Kate, you're even repping Melbourne in what you're wearing. Just tell everyone, because you're representing Australian and Melbourne fashion as well.
Well, to give a bit of a background, I spent the first half of my career working in an engineering office wearing jeans and a polo t-shirt.
Yeah.
And then the next part wearing chef's whites. And I've finally discovered how incredible it is to represent yourself through fashion. Mm. And like Melbourne Fashion Week's on at the moment. Ralph Smith, who's the CEO of, she has really inspired me. And so for this Australian Grand Prix, I decided to only rep Australian designers for the entire event. Today I'm wearing Sasson Bide and Dion Lee. I've had Zimmerman, an amazing emerging designer in Melbourne called Vasetta Wang. It's incredibly exciting to celebrate that creativity and innovation at an event like this.
I love that.
Dr. Kate Reid, owner of Loon Croissantieri, has stuck around. Did I nail that as well?
Not as good as Will's, I reckon.
And former F1 aerodynamicist has stuck around. Now, we've already spoken about your time in the F1. As you can tell, we've already tucked in to some Loon croissants because of crumbs everywhere.
Evidence.
How did you go from Formula One into owning Australia's most popular croissantieri.
I'm going to try and wrap this up quickly because it's a pretty long story. Yep. But pretty much when I realised that the F1 environment wasn't necessarily suited to my personality or aligning with what I needed in a workplace, I was really it was really difficult to let go of it. Like, you know, a childhood dream that you've dedicated a decade to getting to, and I'm a stubborn person, so I stuck it out for longer than I should, and it led to mental health issues and an eating disorder. But ironically, when you have an eating disorder, all you can think about is food, and you think about the food that you're craving. And I love baked goods. Like, I grew up, my mum's a wonderful home baker, and so I would bake when I got home from work to live vicariously through the ingredients. But I also discovered that there was this incredibly scientific side to baking, like meticulously following a process and perfectly weighing ingredients and the science of it. So I'd bring it into the office the next day, and it, ironically, that 10 minutes where we all stopped to eat whatever I'd baked, that created the office environment that I wished existed all the time, like togetherness and collaboration and joy. Yeah.
And you're right, because when you think about the best times in life, it's usually around a shared meal, isn't it? And it's enjoying tucking into something. I'm wondering, though, do you still pinch yourself, Kate? Because there are lines out the door for Loon everywhere you go. Like, you actually know you're coming up to a Loon before you see one, because there are people wrapped around streets.
I've given up before.
For hundreds of metres. That is how popular your creations are. Do you still pinch yourself?
Oh, there's a couple of amazing stories. Recently, one of Melbourne's best restaurateurs, one of his staff told me that they gauge how busy their restaurants are going to be at night based on how long the line at Loon is during the day.
That's incredible.
And I also enjoy it when the line in the city at Loon merges with the line at Gucci and you can't tell which one is which.
Now, well, that is a good intersection.
Fair, yeah.
Do you have a favourite, Kate? Because we had, well, Rabs and I had the ham and cheese croissant, and mine disappeared in about 60 seconds. Will, you had the almond, which smelt and looked unbelievable.
I'm a sweet tooth.
Do you lean one way or the other, Kate?
I have a very clear favourite.
Okay.
The traditional croissant.
Oh.
It's, for me, it's perfection, I think, and it's also the one to measure all other croissants by. Like, if I go to a cafe, I will always order classic poached eggs on toast.
Okay.
Because if a cafe can't poach eggs, they shouldn't be doing anything else. And you can hide you can hide a bad croissant by adding additional ingredients to it. But I mean, what more do you need than 43% French butter?
So Loon croissants, they've been baked on site here at the Grand Prix. The smell is rolling around the Grand Prix.
I was just in there and I wanted a box of pain au chocolat to take down to a couple of French F1 drivers.
Ooh.
And my chef said to me, sorry, you're going to have to wait 7 minutes. I can't bake them up fast enough.
So,
like, I love the fact that people are walking around eating croissants that are still hot from the oven. I mean, you barely get to do that in a permanent bakery, let alone at an international event like this.
Yeah.
So if you're heading along to the Rolex Formula One Australian Grand Prix, make sure you grab yourself a Loon croissant. Now, we can't let you go without getting a tip from you for the race tomorrow. Do you see Oscar Piastri or Danny Ric being able to podium at all?
Look, I think Oscar's in a really strong position. We saw that big step up in performance from the McLaren mid-season last year. And I think he's in a good position to do that. It's going to be hard to beat Max because he's just streets ahead of everybody else. And I can't help but love him. Like, someone that operates on that level or that plane is just a hero to me. But I think Oscar has a really good chance of getting on the podium. So and also his surname sounds like pastry.
Yes. It does. Yes. Oscar pastry for the win.
Meant to be. That's so cool. So as you said, Rabs, if you're down here at the Grand Prix, we saw a record day yesterday for the practice. Over 100,000 people.
Crazy.
It's mind-blowing. So we're expecting big crowds for the next 2 days. Get yourself a Loon croissant. Dr. Kate Reid, thank you so much for joining us. You're going to have such a good day today, getting to see the qualifying, your favourite day of the calendar.
Well, it's my top tip, actually. I think Saturday's the best day. A race can get a little bit monotonous, but every single second of qualifying counts, because they do it in the three sessions and there's eliminations in each session. So if you can get trackside to watch the qualifying, it's the funnest hour of the weekend.
And we should mention quickly, you're a Bombers fan and you had a fangirl moment, as you described it before. What happened yesterday?
Well, I don't fangirl for anybody, but I'm a huge Bombers fan and I grew up around the era of the baby Bombers. And James Hurd was just my ultimate favourite player. And I saw him yesterday and I actually couldn't even talk.
That's so good. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Kate Reid. Enjoy the day. Thank you for joining us on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Kate.
This is Dead Set Legends with Sarah, Will and Rabs on Triple M. Jamie Wincup, if you don't mind,
yes.
Our next guest. Looking forward to him joining us on Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Three legends, one show. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Sarah, Will and Rabs. Triple M.
Live from the Formula One Rolex Australian Grand Prix, just above pit lane, if you don't mind. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Sarah, Will and Rabs. Jamie Wincup is going to join us. Arguably the GOAT of supercars.
Yeah.
Well, there's Brocky and there's Lounsey, but he's up there. He's certainly the modern GOAT.
Yeah, the modern GOAT. We should paint the picture. So we've just had Dr. Kate Reid on, the
she
owner of Lune Croissanterie.
Was incredible. Mm-hmm. I could have chatted to Kate all day. But do you know what I love? Like, she is such an icon in her own right. And she was telling us how she was fangirling over James Hurt.
Yeah.
Like, even famous people fangirl over someone. It's bizarre,
well,
isn't
what
it?
What she didn't say is that James Hurt is a big Lune fan.
Yeah.
So he was fangirling back. So it was very exciting for Kate Reid. And what a great atmosphere here. So many people buzzing around. We're next to the pit lane. You'll start to hear cars buzzing past as we have Jamie Wincup on next. What a great day.
What a great day. And you know when you speak to someone who is genuinely passionate about a topic,
yep,
it makes you passionate about it. Because listening to Kate, like, I couldn't stop smiling. Like, this is such a huge occasion for Melbourne, isn't it?
Yeah.
In our backyard. It is such a cool event.
And her hearing the V10 engine go past just before transported her back to her Williams days in the 90s. So, awesome.
So I just love the fact that she studied aerospace engineering at RMIT when we've all been to uni, so it's like a Bachelor of Arts.
Yeah.
Or,
We're basic.
Finance. And she's like, no, I'm flexing. I'm going to do aerospace engineering and work in the F1s. Hey, the supercars qualifying is happening right now. Formula 3 sprint race is starting at 11:15, so you probably won't be able to hear us after 11:15, so make the most of it. Now, I know we got Lounsey, I know we got Scafie, we know we got Brocky, but this man right now is my all-time supercars favourite. Jamie Wincup, the all-time champ with a record 7 titles and 125 race wins to his name. Welcome to Triple M Dead Set Legends,
Jamie. Thank you, guys.
Jamie.
Thank you. Great intro. Appreciate that.
The GOAT.
Nice pump up, yeah.
Oh, he's the modern GOAT. He is the modern GOAT. Now, thank you, Leroy. So we just had supercars qualifying. Will Brown, one of your boys, won yesterday. How did qualifying go this morning?
Yeah, we've had a great weekend so far. Practice qualifying and a race on Thursday. Race yesterday, we've won both races. Come out this morning, track conditions completely changed, and between you and I, we stuffed it up.
Yep.
And up P6 and 8 or something like that. So this weekend is the closest to a round of golf that you can get. You've got to be consistent over the 8.
Yeah.
And as I keep saying to the boys, just don't worry about how many birdies you hit. Just keep it out of the water, can you? But anyway, we've had a great start, but we made our weekend hard for ourselves qualifying back in the pack today.
Take us into the team of being a V8 team at what's a Formula One event. So you're usually the rock stars wherever you go around the country. But here, how different is it?
Yeah, we're normally you're right. We're normally P1. We're the main show, but we're not even second-rate citizens at this day. I think we're third. I think F1 pulled rank and put F2 in our pit lane, which we're not happy about.
So no pit lane.
We don't have pit lanes, so we're not doing pit stops because we don't have our own little pit lane. And then to find out that F2 aren't even using the pit lane, they're carting all their stuff down to F1 pit lane. They don't even need it.
Storage.
So we're not happy.
Yeah.
We want our pit lane back. So we're trying to put on a good show this weekend to go to F1. Hey, we need to be back in our pit lane for next year.
Do you still enjoy the whole theatre of this weekend, though? There is just so much going on. I mean, of course, on the track, but off the track too. More than 100,000 fans flocking through the gates yesterday. There's going to be a massive crowd again today and tomorrow. Do you still embrace it all?
Yeah, 100%. No, we love being here. I'm complaining that we're third-rate citizens, but no, we'll do anything to be here. It's a massive event.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be 500,000 people here over the weekend. Melbourne does sport well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I watched the Australian Open. It was fantastic. This event's going to be an absolute cracker. So, we love being here, rain, hail or shine. But let's not forget the history of this place as well. Like the Australian Grand Prix, it's been around since 1952. Adelaide did a fantastic job from 1985 to 95. And then, remember, I think it was Ron Walker and the Kennett government. I'm a big Hawthorn fan. Yes. So, you know, Jeff Kennett got the Grand Prix.
Good on you, Jeff.
Albert Park, yeah. So, the history, the place reeks of history just coming here. So, And I think it's been renewed now till 2035. Not necessarily Albert Park, but the Australian Grand Prix got a wealth of history, so we're happy to be part of it at the moment. Course,
yeah. We'll chat about James Sicily's non-suspension soon, if you'd like. Jamie Wincup is the team principal of 888 Racing. So you got Will Brown and Brock Feeney, who may have booted you out of your car seat. How are you seeing the young brigade of 888 Racing coming through now, Jamie?
Well, we had the youngest podium ever in the history of the sport. There was a 21-year-old, or two 21-year-olds and a 25-year-old. So
kids.
It's very much their kids, yeah. It's a changing of the guard at the moment, which is a good thing. I recognise that. I didn't want to be a seat blocker. Didn't want to be the 40-year-old bloke still high hanging onto my seat when there's all this talent coming through. So I've certainly moved aside, and I'm happy to, because the talent now is great.
Another thing that stands out between supercars and Formula One is Will Brown, one of the drivers for 888 Racing, is still a used car salesman in Toowoomba.
Okay.
So can you imagine Max Verstappen selling used cars Monday to Friday and then driving? There's some sort of romanticism about blokes who still have a day-to-day job driving in supercars, isn't there, Jamie?
For sure. They are majority, three-quarters of the field are professionals, though.
Yes.
There's only, it's probably F1, there's NASCAR. There's not many categories around the world where majority of the field are professionals getting paid to race a car. So we're very, very lucky to have that here in Australia. But yeah, no, 100% he's a used car salesman. He's never trust a used car salesman.
No. You know?
So your grandmother if you're not careful. But no. That's what he does during the day. But he's certainly dialed in to making sure he does a good job.
Jamie, you were just saying before, you don't want to be a 40-year-old bloke kind of blocking the seats for younger guys coming through. But do you feel like, and this is a trend across world sport, that people are being elite into their late 30s and 40s now, aren't they?
Yeah. Why is that? Are the young kids soft these days? You know what I mean?
You tell us.
Are they giving the generation before the opportunity to hang around? They should just be making us look completely ordinary, and we're forced out of the seat, you know?
Yeah.
But that's not the case. Yeah, we're seeing late 30s, early 40s still competitive in sports all over the place. But I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure why, but I love seeing young kids having a go. That's why we've got the youngest driver lineup in the whole field. So we're happy to support the young talent.
So of course the V8's racing again later this afternoon and tomorrow as well. And the Formula Ones, I imagine you keep a keen eye on as well as a man that loves his racing. Do you have any sort of tips or anything you want to keep an eye on with qualifying today and the race tomorrow?
Not necessarily. No, we don't know any more than what we see in the papers or what everyone sees. So obviously the Red Bulls are very, very fast. Lewis hated his car yesterday. That's almost a tactic as well to say I'm no. Where it's a great mental thing to say I'm the underdog, and they'll come out today firing for sure. But Ferrari's also very, very fast. So, of course, Red Bull are very, very dominant at the moment.
Is it boring how dominant they are?
Well, remember Schumacher for years dominated. We've had Valentino Rossi.
Jamie's sponsored by Red Bull. It's all over the top.
Yeah. Yeah. Red Bull's all over it.
And what sport hasn't been dominated by a particular team or brand for a period of time, you know?
Well, you're a Hawks man as well. You'd know it too well.
Oh, exactly. Well, the three-peat over here.
100%. Yeah. So, no, I don't think it's a bad thing to see a team dominating for a period of time, as long as it doesn't go on for too long.
Yeah.
Where viewers are tuning off. But no. We're seeing a good stint from Red Bull. But Ferrari will be there shortly, for sure.
Chatting to the modern goat of supercars, Jamie Wincup. Before we let you go, mate, for 888 Racing, can we see you in the endurance races later on this year? Or are you fully hung up the, what are you, steering wheel? What do you hang up as a supercar driver?
No, that's a plan. That's a great thing.
Hang up the gear stick.
Yeah. Helmet normally. Yeah. I can hang up the gear stick as well. Why not? Yeah. But hopefully, for sure. I'd like to, I'm penciling myself in to Sandown 500 in September. And then obviously the biggest event of the year. year. Bathurst 1000 in the second week of October.
Just for supercars like dum-dums like myself, endurance, how is that different to other races?
Two drivers.
Okay.
Now, we don't get in the car at the same time.
Okay.
We come into the pit, tag team. And you tag team. You tag your teammate, get in, do a stint, and then you jump back out, and then the other driver does the stint.
No, backseat driving. Like, you should have turned left here.
And quickly, 2024 Hawthorn. We love our footy here. What are you thinking? Are you positive? Are you optimistic?
I feel like we're on the way back up.
Yeah.
If we can get in the back of the eight, I'll be happy.
Favourite player?
Jason Dunstall. He's retired though, hasn't he?
Chief.
Yeah.
He was on last night for us. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck with the races today and tomorrow. Jamie Wincup joining Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jamie.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Three legends, one show. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Sarah, Will and Rabs. Triple M.
Will, you've been here for a few days this week. We want to touch on that soon because you actually got up close and personal with the Formula One drivers.
It's actually pretty wild, the access I was allowed to have for someone who has no credentials in the sport or in the media world. I was just wandering up to Lewis Hamilton and Fernando Alonso. It was a strange day.
Did people play nice?
Yeah, they were all lovely.
Yeah.
They were all really lovely. But yeah, we'll get into that. Yeah, so I had some crazy access.
Speaking about the wild access that Will got, trying to get to where we are, which is ahead of pit lane, I came in on the Lakeside Boulevard. So I came through gate 10. I know we were told to come through gate 1.
Come on, Rabs, follow the instructions.
And then I was walking. All of a sudden, I walked over the racetrack. I walked over the racetrack again. Then all of a sudden, I was underneath the racetrack and I popped up, but I was in pit lane. And then I could see where we needed to go, but there was another gate. And I said, oh, mate, I just need to go to that gate. He goes, well, if you haven't got a paddock pass, you can't get in. I'm like, well, I've got this fast. Like, can't I go an extra 50 metres? And he gives me the old, mate, I don't make the rules. I just play by them.
Oh.
And I think he's exactly right.
So I had to walk another 20 minutes. I had to go back out, walk down to gate one and come back in. But we are here. It is absolutely magnificent. Yeah.
It's an unbelievably well-run event, but it does not look like Albert Park.
No.
At all.
No.
I don't know. Where is the lake right now?
I think the lake is to our right, is it?
To our left.
I think. Yeah. It depends which way you're looking.
Yeah, it is.
It's there somewhere.
It's to the east.
There's no stray golf balls being hit from the golf course. There's no people playing pickup basketball games. It's legit. This is the biggest show in town. It's arguably the biggest race on the Formula One circuit. The amount of people that come here. I mean, it sold out yesterday, sold out Thursday, sold out today and tomorrow. It is incredible.
Yeah, they're expecting another record. It's unbelievable.
How about the first hour of this show, Rabs? We had Dr. Kate Reid on, of course,
superstar.
From Le Croissant Terry. She was absolutely sensational. I feel like we could have spoken to her for a good hour.
I miss her.
Yeah, I miss her too. Kate, come back if you're listening.
We had the modern goat, Jamie Wincup.
Yes, wasn't he great?
And we've got probably the world's greatest Ange Postecoglou lookalike, who we have dubbed
Fange.
Ange in Postecoglou, who is sitting right about 5 metres away from us. Thank you for that joke, Leroy.
We're just outside the pit exit lane, and there is a fair bit of noise going on because it is the F3s, Raps, that are doing their thing right now. And
it's about to kick off in about 1.5 minutes.
Yeah, okay, so if things get loud, we apologise, but we can't do much because we are just three schmucks sitting trackside here. But, Will, you weren't much of a schmuck yesterday because you were getting up close and personal with some of the biggest names in F1. Firstly, how? And secondly, what did you ask them?
Right, so I can say shit. I'll censor it from now on. The S questions that I've been doing at the Brownlow. Some people might have seen this over the last few years. Since about 2016 or so, we had access through Triple M to go to the Brownlow. And I realised that a lot of the questions there were always just the same thing. Who are you wearing? Who are you expecting to poll well tonight? And so I thought, may as well just
mix it up
a bit.
Yeah.
Ask something a bit different. And that's where it was born. And it's done pretty well on the socials over the last few years. And the Australian Grand Prix, the great people thought, we have an opportunity to ask drivers some questions. Well, why don't we get Will in? Which I was extremely flattered to be asked and surprised. And I wasn't sure if we would have access to all of the big names. But then on the Melbourne Walk, where people are signing autographs and stuff, I was allowed to just roam, Brian Taylor style, and managed to get access to pretty much everyone, which was surreal to me, and ended up making a video that's got some extremely ordinary questions in it.
All right, well, let's be the judge of these ordinary questions, Rabs. Let's have a listen to what Will got up to yesterday.
Oscar, welcome home, mate. What's your favourite postcode?
Favourite postcode? 3187.
Perfect.
That's where I was born.
Thank you, mate. Just a quick question, clockwise or anti-clockwise?
Doesn't matter, really.
You don't mind?
Not for the neck on the other side, but that's it, really.
Perfect, thank you. Hey, Gunther, do you have a favourite ocean?
A favourite ocean?
Lewis, what's your Uber rating? Pacific?
I would say Atlantic. I like that one better.
Perfect, thank you, Gunther. Daniel, welcome home, mate. Do you have a favourite font?
Favourite font?
Do you have a method of combating helmet hair?
No, I don't, to be honest. Just bring a comb.
The only font I know is Times New Roman.
You like it?
I don't know.
Logan, just a quick one. Do you have an opinion on the Tasmanian state election this weekend?
I have no idea what's even going on.
Comic Sans, that's another one.
Perfect.
You take me back to school.
Fernando, do you have a favourite gear? Just a quick question. Do you know why Oktoberfest is celebrated in September?
No clue, but you're going to tell me, I think.
I don't know. I was hoping you would.
Sorry, I don't know.
And do you have a favourite Batman?
Carlos,
what Mario Kart weapon do you wish you could use?
The star.
Christian Bale?
Yeah, I'll probably say that.
Alex, what's your favourite temperature?
Temperature?
Excuse me, Liam. Do you think it's a little bit unfair that Red Bull gives you wings?
A little bit unfair?
Yeah.
I think it's a great thing, isn't it? Hey, how's it going?
Like... 18 degrees.
Perfect.
Zero humidity.
Lando, do you still consider Pluto a planet? Do you still consider Pluto a planet?
No, it's a dwarf planet.
It's good. Good knowledge.
Although my son told me that because he studied astronomy at school, and my fiance still thinks it's a planet, so it's kind of family debate on that one. Don't walk into the gate.
What do you think the speed limit is here for the rest of the year?
I think it's 60, no?
40.
40.
Ooh. Very low.
That's low. Safety first.
Safety first. George, just a quick question. Do you use the closed doors button on an elevator? And if so, do you think it actually does anything?
I always use the closed doors button on an elevator, and I think it's a game changer.
Thank you.
Access to every single Formula One. Right. Did anyone blank you?
Yeah, it was Fernando Alonso. Oh. You've got to see the video. It's up on the OzGP on Instagram if you want to see it. And okay. He just completely ignores me. It was one of the most soul-destroying moments of my life, but it's pretty funny.
We've been talking about fangirling and fanboying a bit today because we had Dr. Kate Reid in earlier and she said she fangirled when she met James Heard. Did you fanboy anyone?
Well, I'm a huge Danny Rick fan. Okay. And when he walked past and I asked him about his favourite font, I was expecting him to just like, sorry, mate, I don't have time. But he stopped. It was the first time he'd stopped in the entire walk, and this media scrum just forms behind me. And there's
all these mics come in to get his answer for his favourite.
Yeah, and all they get is just him saying, Times New Roman? But it was cool. And what was really cool was young Aussie kid Tommy Smith with the blonde hair. I asked him about his helmet hair. He's currently forming at the formation now as the F3s are about to kick off. So we're going to hear him drive past us very soon. So best of luck to Tommy Smith.
Now, I've got to say, I'm not like an F1 aficionado, but I've got into Drive to Survive like many of us, and I've been warming to Gunther, and you spoke Steiner. To him. How was he?
He's so cool, and he is just kind of walking around the Grand Prix doing anything this weekend. So he was actually
part of the broadcast
because
he was on the rush hour during the week, and Bill kept saying, well, you got the ass from Haas. He actually took it pretty well. He said, oh, that's the Australian humour that I've come to love. Now, your SHIT questions from the Formula One spawned a breakfast TV appearance from you yesterday on the Today Show. Let's hear that, please, Leroy.
Yeah, well, I did ask Logan Sargeant about his opinion on the Tasmanian state election, but he gave me nothing, unfortunately. So best of luck to Tasmanians going to the polls this weekend because you're on your own.
Running some Tasmanian political election gear on breakfast TV there, Will.
Yeah, Logan Sargent didn't have an opinion, but best of luck to the Tasmanians going to the polls today as we have the F3s taking off in front of us. They're off and racing, Sarah.
Oh, my God, it is so loud. Hard to hear ourselves talk. Now, have you garnered a few more Instagram followers after your newfound fame?
Maybe a couple hundred. I mean, there's not a whole lot of content going on.
A couple of hundred.
Hey, on Thursday night, St Kilda, they were up and about 94-79. They defeat the reigning premiers who have an 0-3 start, would you believe?
Oh. We may have to bail out of this one.
Do you know what this is like? With these F3s coming around every minute or so, I imagine this is what it's like to have contractions.
I just find it incredibly rude. Guys, we are on
guys,
air.
We're on air. Can you quieten down? We want to talk about Thursday night footy because it was St Kilda, 14-10, 94, celebrating a 15-point win over the Pies, 12-7, 79, and this is a little taste of it.
It's game time between the Saints and the Pies.
There's Darcy Moore at the back. Higgins, he loves his situation, little Jack.
A handball was a shocker. Gave it straight to Brad Hill, and he makes the pay.
King got rid of Frampton. Gave a handball to Henry. The spark in the third quarter. Starts the fourth quarter with a bang.
And Higgins stopped a miracle shot from the boundary line. It'll be the best goal you've ever seen. You can't do that. You cannot do what he's just done.
Kilda. With a big win on a big occasion. Spud's game. We're thinking of you, Spud. You'll be proud of your Saints tonight.
So the best goal you've ever seen. But, Rabs, I'm looking at you over there, a one-eyed Pies fan, and I'm thinking, was it a goal? What do you think?
Well, it just seems to be that pocket, doesn't it?
Mm. Yes.
It was Jeremy Cameron last year. Look, if it was out, if it wasn't out, it was an unbelievable goal.
At that time in the game.
I screamed out loud. A little bit, but for Higgins just to flush it like that and then be laying prostrate on the ground and celebrating. Look, you can't be mad at that. That was an unbelievable goal.
An unbelievable goal indeed. And an unbelievable win from Ross Lyon's team after they got so close to the Cats in round one down at GMHBA Stadium. I love the ball movement from St Kilda, like Nazaya Wanganeen-Millara.
Wow.
We've been hearing this name for some time over the summer. The Saints have been talking him up. By foot, he was distributing the ball with such proficiency and ease. And just to watch him was a treat. He was moving like a graceful gazelle and he didn't look like he was going to miss a target.
Does that feel like the most important position in an AFL side in 2024? That kind of... The beautiful user that can run from halfback and really open the corridor up. Most of the good teams have that person these days.
Well, Collingwood's been chopped up last 2 weeks because of that movement with Sydney and St Kilda. We saw Max Holmes for the Cats be moved into that position last night, did a great job as well. I want to talk about Liam Henry, though, who the Saints actively bought over from Fremantle. The Dockers were very angry to lose him. He was so impressive playing on the wing. I don't know how many score involvements he had. He was just absolutely terrific, Sarah.
So two goals from his 14 touches, and he had his hand in everything, didn't he, Rabs? But unfortunately, at the end of the match, he was on the bench with what the club described as cramp. What we've since learnt is that it's a hamstring injury, and he's so going to miss 6 weeks, which is so annoying because you could just see him building that chemistry with the likes of Nazaya Wanganeen-Millara and some really beautiful passes into the forward line as well. So it's a shame for the Saints, isn't it, Will?
Yeah, absolutely. And they've also had a suspension that we've learned in the last 24 hours. What's happened there, Sarah?
Yeah, so Max King has been given a one-match suspension for rough conduct on Finlay McRae. So this was in the last term. I've had a look at the vision. It's kind of the exact act that the AFL are trying to stamp out at the moment. It's that slightly off the ball, head high contact. So I think they're going to be in a bit of strife if they want to contest this St Kilda. So it looks like they're going to be without one of their prime forwards in Max King and a prime mover in Liam Henry next week.
You can hear a few prime movers in the background there with the F3s live from the Rolex Australian Formula One Grand Prix.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Three legends, one show. Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Sarah, Will and Rabs. Triple M.
We are next to the pit lane and you will hear the Formula 3s going past. There are 10 laps to go in their sprint race as it stands. Two Aussies in this race, Tommy Smith and Christian Mansell, who found himself right in the podium picture earlier on in the race. He was coming fourth for a lot of it, but now he has slipped back to about 14th.
All right, Martin Brundle.
Settle down.
I'm just keeping an eye on the subtitles and the commentary. I'm intrigued. intrigued. I like to see Aussies do well, but
it's because you spoke to him yesterday.
I did meet the young man. I wish him the best of luck. But yes, we are here from the Formula One, and it's such an exciting day, a very intriguing day of practice yesterday in the F1s. We saw Leclerc, the fastest man, and qualifying today, so there's a lot to play out.
And we heard it's Dr. Kate Reed's favourite day because every lap means something when it comes to qualifying. So this is kind of the day for the purists, if you might will. We kind of compared it to prelim day in the world of footy. And speaking of footy, we do have a big card of games coming up. Up next, it's North and the Dockers from Marvel Stadium, then Hawthorn and Melbourne at the G. And then this evening, the only night game at the SCG, it's the Sydney Swans and Essendon. And these are two sides that just tend to have close, weird games. In fact, seven of the past eight have been decided by 10 or fewer points. And we don't need to look too far in the rear vision mirror to see some weird incidents, i.e. Dane Rampy climbing the post.
That is right up there. I.e. One of the strangest things I've ever seen on a field.
Kicks after the siren. The Gary Rowan mark. If you want to go back to 1996, Plugger kicking the point to get into the grand final in that prelim. These two sides, I don't know what it is, Rabs. Weird things go hand in hand with both of them.
And we spoke to Liam Clancy from Betfair earlier, and he liked the Bombers a little bit at the line, which is 30 plus. But how do you see this game playing out? Of course, we heard yesterday that Darcy Parrish, Sarah, has failed to get right for this game with a hamstring injury. So that's a big... Well, he wasn't in for the Bombers because he didn't play last week, but it's a big loss for them still.
Yes, so he was initially named, but now he's been replaced by Ben Hobbs. So he comes in along with Nick Hind, Jaden Laverty and Sam Draper, of course, the big ruckman who's going to work in tandem for the first time with Todd Goldstein. Yeah. That's going to be a big battle up against Brody Grundy, who has started his Swans career superbly. And we know at the SCG, centre clearances are so important because of that smaller ground. So I think this is going to be another tight one, even though the Swans look to be flying at the moment. I think this one is going to be closer than people think.
It's really intriguing. So the Bombers looked nice last week, but Sydney, would we say they're the form team of the AFL as it stands? The Giants are playing really nice football, but to knock off the reigning premiers last week and Melbourne in round one, I think the Swans are red hot. It's going to be a really good game.
Forward line interests me for the Bombers.
Yep.
Jack Stringer looked incredible last week. He looks as fit as he has been for a long time. Where do the goals come from, Sarah, with the Bombers? Because obviously Sydney's forward line looks stacked with Amati and McLean.
Goal-kicking mids as
well. Goal-kicking mids. So where do you see the goals coming from, Essendon? That's probably... Like, obviously, Draper or Goldstein will rest forward, I'm guessing, with the two rucks playing. But
well, Carl Langford, so he was, I think, runner-up in their best and fairest last year. Stiff to not be All-Australian, was in the squad. He is one to watch. And Archie Perkins,
he has
started the season superbly. He's more your goal-kicking midfielder, but he looks to have taken the next step, which is music to Bomber fans' ears, because they're waiting for this next crop to step up. We've been hearing so long about the next gen of talent.
Yeah.
He looks like he has arrived, so I'd be watching for Archie Perkins this evening.
And then Saturday, Rob, is straight after us, ahead of North Melbourne versus Fremantle. Harry Sheasel is their guest. North Melbourne knocked off Freo last year.
That's right, early.
Early.
Yeah.
Clarko giving the big out-of-bounds on the full on the sideline, up and about.
Simkin and McDonald back in the side today. I give North Melbourne a red-hot crack today against the Dockers at Marvel Stadium. So if you are a North fan, make sure you head along to that game.
Yeah. And we have heard that the goal songs that North Melbourne are going to be running with for the first time, so that's really exciting. If you're a North fan, you're going to hear some weird tunes. Have you seen the list, Sarah?
I haven't seen the list, no.
Really weird tunes. I know George Wardlaw has a track from Romeo and Juliet's soundtrack that was written by a very famous Russian composer. get around the team this year if you're a North fan, because I think it's excitement levels. They're just starting to come good.
And I know Eddie Ford has chosen Plastic Bertrand as his goal song. He's a massive fan of the Rush Hour. Like
Nod
a proper Rush Hour,
Rush Hour
Nuffy is Eddie Ford from the North Melbourne footy. We are about to wrap up, so as is become tradition in the now four shows that we've done, what have you got on for the rest of your weekend, Will?
I'll stick around here for a little bit because we have the pleasure of being at the Grand Prix and we want to soak up as much atmosphere as possible.
With fake Ange.
Tonight, I'm going to a four-seat restaurant in Footscray, which I'm just reading up about now.
What's it called?
Called Matsu. So
Do you know the other three people?
I do, okay. Thank goodness, because that would be incredibly awkward.
It would.
But yeah, so we'll see what that looks like, a four-person restaurant. I'm very curious to see what kind
you
of
can
cuisine.
Fill us in next week, indeed. We've actually got some friends over from London who we haven't seen in a while, so I'll be catching up with them today in between all of the noise from the F1s, which has been incredible runs.
My fiancé's at an auction at midday, so ooh, I'll be here with the headphones in, seeing if we have a house or not. So that's quite exciting.
How over 3,000 auctions going on in Melbourne today. It's a big auction day, biggest in 3 years.
It is a big auction day, but I will stick around here with you as well, Will, and Sarah as well.
I'm sticking around.
Yeah, and Dee and Zoe as well. Thank you for your help today. It's been an absolutely incredible atmosphere at the Rolex Formula One Australian Grand Prix, but don't go anywhere. Plenty of footy on Triple M today.
Intriguing games today.
Intriguing games. Saturday Rub is coming up next. Their guest is Harry Sheezel, young star from the North Melbourne Football Club. And then it is North Melbourne versus Fremantle. Thank you very much, Will.
Rabs, wonderful work, Sarah. Hope you enjoy the day.
What a pleasure. It's been all time.
This has been Triple M's Dead Set Legends Live from the Formula One Rolex Australian Grand Prix.
That has been another massive edition of Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Betfair. Betfair are on your side this autumn racing. Imagine what you could be buying instead.